Welcome to the Walk On Podcast. This is our fourth episode in the Lent and Narnia series. This week, we look at a short excerpt from The Magician's Nephew. Towards the end of the book, the great lion Aslan sends Polly and Diggory, two of the main characters, and their flying horse named Fledge off on an important quest across the land of Narnia. But as night falls and they still haven't reached their destination, they choose to land in a little valley in between two mountains. We read, "The valley in which they had come down was in the heart of the mountains. Snowy heights towered above them. I am hungry," said Diggory. "Well, tuck in," said Fledge, taking a big mouthful of grass. Then he raised his head, still chewing with bits of grass sticking out on each side of his mouth like whiskers, and said, "Come on, you two, don't be shy. There's plenty for all of us." "Well, but we can't eat grass," said Diggory. "Hmm," said Fledge, speaking with his mouth full. "Well, I don't know quite what you'll do then. It's very good grass, too." Polly and Diggory stared at one another in dismay. "Well, I do think someone might have arranged our meals," said Diggory. "I'm sure Aslan would have if you'd asked him," said Fledge. "Well, wouldn't he know without being asked?" said Polly. "Well, I've no doubt he would," said the horse, still with his mouth full. "But I've a sort of idea he likes to be asked." What we read makes me think of an interaction I had a while back as I was doing bedtime prayers with my two boys. One of them asked, "Does God know everything?" I said, "I think he does." And then he said, "Well, then why do we need to pray?" And perhaps you've had the same thoughts. In Matthew 6:8, Jesus assured his disciples that your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Yet even with that truth, he continued on and taught them and gave them instructions on how they should pray. Perhaps what Lewis hints at in what we read and what Jesus hints at in Matthew 6 is that the act of asking is about more than just meeting a need. The other day, over a lunch conversation, a friend observed that he couldn't think of any places in the gospel where Jesus healed someone without them first asking in some form with words or actions. And as I thought about it, I couldn't think of any either. And that made me wonder why Jesus chose to heal that way. I mean, there were needs all around him. And if he wanted to, he could have walked around and just healed everyone he saw, you know, almost like shot out healing powers. "You're healed, you're healed, you're healed." Like the Oprah Winfrey of healing. Everyone gets healed. But he doesn't do that. Instead, it's almost like he waits for them to initiate. You see this firsthand in the healing of blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. We read that Bartimaeus is blind and begging on the side of the road outside of the city of Jericho. And Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is passing by and he cries out to him. Others tell him to be quiet, but yet he cries even louder. And then two profound moments occur. The first in verse 49. It says that when Bartimaeus cried out that Jesus heard him, he stopped and he said, "Tell him to come here." Now, if we're not careful, we can just read right through that and gloss over those three movements. But I think those three movements of Jesus are profound. That Jesus, when he heard Bartimaeus' cries, he heard him, he stopped, and he invited him in. But I have to wonder, why did Jesus stop? It's likely that there were dozens of other people sitting alongside that road in need, begging, similar to Bartimaeus. We don't know their stories. We don't know their names, but we know of Bartimaeus. And as you read the flow of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And once he arrives in Jerusalem, it's going to set in motion a chain of events that's going to lead to his arrest, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. So Jesus has some very important things that he's heading towards. With this utterly eternity-changing event about to happen, why does Jesus stop and talk to a blind beggar on the side of the road? See, I think that Jesus stopped not to meet a need, but to meet a person. The healing of Bartimaeus wasn't the end goal. Bartimaeus himself was the end goal. Jesus is relentlessly relational. He's one-on-one. He deals with each of us as unique individuals. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to be known by him. There's a relational component to everything that Jesus does. And then the second profound moment is once Bartimaeus approaches Jesus, Jesus asks him a question. What do you want me to do for you? Now, that's kind of a dumb question, isn't it? I mean, come on, can't Jesus tell that the guy's blind? Doesn't Jesus know the needs and the hearts of men? Why is he asking when he probably already knows? Well, what if the question wasn't for Jesus' sake? What if the question was for Bartimaeus' sake? There's something that happens when we articulate our need. The act of asking is an act of being honest and admitting that we need help, that we can't do it on our own. And I believe that God meets us at our point of honesty. And so when you pray and you ask, there's no need to dress up your prayers. There's no need to use certain language and these and thous and a certain formula to make it get to God's ears. The prayer that Jesus hears is the honest prayer. God meets us at our point of honesty. There's no need to hide. And God will meet you on whatever level you choose to be honest with him. So if God meets us at our point of honesty, then the more we're honest with God and ourselves, then the more of God we can experience. And so often what happens when we ask God for something, there's usually a thing underneath that, right? We make a request, but there's usually a deeper desire at play underneath that, right? Take Bartimaeus, for example. He wanted to see, but why? What's underneath his desire to see? What's the things driving him to want to see? Scripture doesn't tell us, but I think you can make some guesses that maybe it was a desire to be seen as whole and not as a label or as a disability. I don't know how many days Bartimaeus sat beside that road and how many people passed by looking down at him in disgust, or at worst, completely ignoring him as if he didn't even exist. Perhaps Bartimaeus's desire to see was that he wanted to be fully a part of a community, to be seen as an individual and not as a label or a disability or as somebody on the outskirts of society. He wanted to experience the fullness of that community. So what about you? If Jesus were to ask you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say? And before you answer, what's the deeper desire underneath that? I know for me personally, there's been something that's been on my heart that I've been asking God about in prayer lately. And as I've been praying for the situation and asking God to intervene and to do certain things, it's kind of one of those times where my prayers were like telling God what he should do. You know, have you ever prayed that way? And in a quiet time of prayer recently, I just felt God ask me, why are you praying that? He was asking me, like, what's underneath those prayers? And it was a moment that I had to be honest with myself. I had to be honest with God. And I had to admit the reason that I'm praying those prayers is because I'm scared. I'm in a situation that I feel out of control. And the moment I admitted that, I felt God say that. Give me that. Right? God meets us at our point of honesty. So yeah, God knows what you need before you ask, but like Fledge said, I have a sort of idea he likes to be asked, because when we ask and we get honest with God and honest with ourselves, that's the point that we can engage relationally with him. Right? Jesus is relentlessly relational. God is all about redeeming and restoring our relationship to him so that we can be connected to him and experience his loving presence. He's the God who hears our cries, who stops, who invites us in and asks, what do you want me to do for you? There's something relationally that happens when we become honest and transparent, then your relationship can go to a deeper level. And that is so true with God. God wants us to experience his presence. And we do that at our point of honesty. And so when we ask, even though God knows what we want, part of the asking is building that trust and that relationship that God wants to have with us. So I invite you into a moment of prayer and reflection to think about all of these things. Find yourself a place where you can be comfortable yet attentive. And let's quiet our hearts and our minds and focus in on the presence of God with a couple of deep breaths. Now I want you to imagine that you are in Bartimaeus's place, sitting on the dusty road. All day long, people have been passing by, hardly paying you any attention. And then you hear that Jesus is near. And this Jesus, you've heard rumors about what he could do. And you wonder, could he do that for me? And a glimmer of hope wells up inside of you and you cry out for him. Jesus, Jesus. And he hears you. And as he's walking by, he stops. He turns towards you and says, come here. And as quickly as you can, you stand up and you walk towards Jesus. And he looks at you in the eyes with compassion. And he asks you, what do you want me to do for you? And you start to reply, but then you hesitate because you realize what you're about to say isn't exactly it. There's something deeper underneath that. But you're afraid to admit it. But then Jesus puts his arms on your shoulders and he looks at you in the eyes. And with love and compassion, he asks you one more time, what do you want me to do for you? What do you say? How do you respond? What's the deeper desire that you want to ask for? May you meet God at your point of honesty, and may you experience the love and grace and joy of Jesus. I'll be posting more Lenten reflections from the Chronicles of Narnia. So be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss out. Thanks for listening.